In a neighborhood in Los Angeles, California, called Watts. Now, if you look around, you'll notice that Watts is a lot like your community. It has schools, churches, libraries, shops, and a whole lot of people who call this place home. Many people who love this community and want to tell other folks about it. There's a group called the Watts Prophets who have written a song about the neighborhood.
What's up, y'all? What's up, y'all? What's up, y'all?
Watts, a beautiful place with a whole lot of space. People, black, brown, white, red, and yellow. Live together in good and bad, spicy weather.
Tacos, burritos, best in town can be found in Watts. Or Jordan's Cafe, just might be one of your soul food stops.
Handsome guys and beautiful girls struggle sometimes to stay alive, to go to school, to follow rules.
Living in the projects next to the tracks, playing hopscotch and listening to hip hop, hip hop, hip hop. Some don't have a lot, but progress never stops.
I wanna be a doctor.
Progress never stops.
I wanna be a doctor.
Progress never stops.
And a whole lot of proud, great people come from Watts, Watts, Watts.
People and colorful spaces, a rainbow of bright and beautiful faces. Watts, a place where progress never stops. Progress never stops. Progress never stops.
What's up, y'all? What's up, y'all? What's up, y'all?
A community is a mosaic of different people and places. Well, one of the most famous places here is the Watts Towers. They really are one of the treasures of this community. Now, if you look closely, you can see the different bits and pieces of the lives of the people who lived here when the towers were being built. You see pieces of cups and saucers. There are bits of broken plates and pottery. There are even kitchen and bathroom tiles. But one man collected all of these pieces and put them together to create something magnificent. His story is in here, the wonderful Towers of Watts.
The wonderful Towers of Watts by Patricia Zelver. Pictures by Frené Lessac. Read by Angela Bassett. A lot of people thought Old Sam was crazy. Old Sam's real name was Simon Rodia, He had come from Italy as a young man and spoke with a thick accent. He bought a little bungalow in Watts, a poor neighborhood in Los Angeles. He baked his bread in an outdoor oven he'd made, just like the oven his mother had used in the old country. Sometimes he was friendly and smiled at people. Other times his thoughts seemed far away, and he'd speak to no one. Old Sam worked as a laborer at Taylor's Tile Company. Every evening, he got off the streetcar carrying a large burlap sack of broken colored tiles. What's old Sam gonna do with those, people said. On weekends, old Sam walked down to the vacant lot by the railroad tracks and collected things that people thought were better thrown away. He brought home blue milk and magnesia bottles, broken bits of colored pottery, even pieces of broken mirrors. Sometimes he paid the neighborhood kids pennies or cookies to bring him empty green soda bottles and sacks of seashells. What does old Sam want with all that junk? People wondered. Old Sam spent most of his money on sacks of cement, sand, and steel. People could hear him working in his backyard behind a high fence. Old Sam, what's he up to? They said. One day, to the neighbor's amazement, something strange and beautiful rose up over the fence in Sam's backyard. It was a lacy web of steel covered with a skin of concrete in which old Sam had stuck glittering bits of tile, glass, mirrors, pottery, and seashells. Was old Sam building a fairy castle, a church spire, a tower in which he could climb to the sky? Everyone stared in wonder at old Sam's creation. Sam went on working. He worked all by himself for 33 years in all kinds of weather, high off the ground, with only a window washer's belt to keep him from falling. While he worked, he listened to opera music. His favorite singer was Enrico Caruso. Old Sam could be heard singing along with him. The children of the neighborhood grew up and had their own children, who watched old Sam's towers soaring into the sky. Old Sam was getting older, too, but he went on working just as before. Sometimes, old Sam invited the neighborhood children into his yard. Inside, the children found a magical city with little streets, squares, and fountains. The walls were covered with heart shapes, seashells, colorful tiles, and a golden bumblebee. Stuck in the cement were all sorts of curious objects, which old Sam had collected over the years. A teapot spout, cowboy boots, a horseshoe. Newspaper reporters heard about the towers and came to see them. What do they mean? They asked him. Old Sam just smiled. Where are your plans? They said. Old Sam pointed to his head. Why did you do it? They said. I just felt like it, old Sam said. One day, when Sam was 80 years old, he gave the key to his house to a neighbor and went off to live near his relatives in another city. It was the last time he saw the towers. He never came back again. Watts is still a poor part of Los Angeles, but no other place has the Watts Towers. And every year, people come from all over the world to marvel at Old Sam's crazy dream.
People who visit the towers know what an interesting place Watts can be. But like any community, Watts has problems. One big problem is that Watts has gangs, groups of kids that have fights and make trouble in the neighborhood. I spoke with some school kids to find out what it's like to grow up in Watts and to hear from them what they would change about their community if they could. But what do you guys think? I mean, you live here. What's it like growing up here in Watts? Anna?
It's hard sometimes because of the gangs, but it's also fun and nice place to be by our neighbors.
McCarran?
It's a good community because we have libraries, parks.
I like the library because there's tutors to help you read and stuff.
So what happened here?
I like the 103rd train station because it could take you around.
When I go to church, it makes me think about the good things of Watts.
One day, my dad's friends came in there and asked us, what area was this? And my dad said, Watts. And they said, I don't like this place because there's a lot of shooting and stuff. And my dad said, well, I like it here, and I want to stay here. I don't want to move from here.
Mm-hmm. Raul?
Half of my neighborhood is invaded by gangs.
So let's talk about gangs for a second. What are some of the bad things about gangs? What are some of the things that the gangs do that are really negative in the community, Marquise?
They try to get the kids to do some drugs like they've been doing. They try to get the kids to do them, sell them and stuff like that.
Right.
I saw this guy in the corner, the same corner of mine. So there was a drive-by and they shot him right there. And right now there's some blood stains right there.
Still
and
there.
Bullet holes.
Mm-hmm. So this was recently?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the gangs are really responsible for a lot of drugs in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
And shootings? Yeah. Now tell me this, why would anybody want to join a gang?
You see people being a gang, you want to be in a gang.
Mm-hmm.
The temptation is when they see all the fancy stuff they have, like the rings, guns, and they want it. It's just that gets them to get it right then.
Mm-hmm.
They force you to do stuff, and then when you do it, you're gonna be in jail.
Like what kind of stuff do they force you to do?
Kill people, rob.
John?
If you be saying no, they be saying you are like chicken, all that, and...
You're weak?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Marquis?
They like... My father is in the gang, and they want to be just like their father, and they end up joining.
Right.
Like father, like son.
Is it hard for kids to stay out of gangs?
Yes.
It's not hard? Why isn't it hard?
My mom always tells me that don't get out of gang because you're not going to get your career, because I always want to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I say that it is hard.
It is hard.
I see some parents that they're sometimes pushing on kids to be on gangs the way they treat them.
Really? Parents push kids into being in gangs?
Well, not sometimes.
Hang on. What do you mean by that, Anna?
Well, some parents kind of like, they don't, when the kids want to talk to them, but the parents are just in another world. They're on drugs or alcoholics.
So the kids can't get any attention at home,
so they get it on gangs, on the street.
Mm. So what can you do to resist that pressure?
You have to trust yourself. Don't, like, they talk to you, come on, let's go, you wanna join our gang? You have to believe in yourself to not be with them.
That you're stronger than they are.
You're stronger than
them. You have something you wanna add to that, John?
Don't dress like one and don't walk like them and stay away from them.
How does gang violence make you feel?
The gangs, it's like they're embarrassing the Watts.
The community, huh?
Yeah, the gangs just make it look bad.
So tell me, if there was one thing that you could change about the neighborhood, What would that be? What would you change? Marquis?
I would change all the games, because if there's no games on the earth, the world would just be so perfect. Mm. It would just be perfect without any games.
The first reason that people think that watch is bad is the games. But we have nice things like libraries, the school, the Martin Luther King Center.
So gangs aren't the only thing that this community should be known for, yeah. Are they?
What I like is that when people need help, there are people there to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people here that care about each other instead of people that just hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that care.
So what are we going to be when we grow up?
A doctor, uh-huh. Because I like to help people.
I want to be a rocket scientist.
I want to be a cop so I can get the crime off the streets.
When I grow up, I'm going to buy me a pretty house and I'm going to get me a husband.
For many kids, living in a tough neighborhood means learning to choose the right path, even when the temptation to do the wrong thing is all around you. Do you follow the crowd, or do you follow your own inner voice that knows the difference between right and wrong? Every neighborhood has its own heroes, and Watts is no exception. People who have faced the tough choices and made smart decisions.
Latoya Howlett, I'm 18 and I'm from Watts. I have 12 brothers and sisters and a baby of 12.
This is my elementary school picture. This is my brother who's in college in Simi Valley. This is my brother who's a mechanic. And this is me at senior prom this year.
People think that just because we're from Watts, we are not high achievers. But as you can see, my family was well talented and gifted.
We about to get rid of.
Growing up for me, my mom, she didn't pay me a lot of attention because she had to worry about my brother, who was a gangbanger. It was tough because I had to fend for myself. I had to dress myself. I had to cook my food for myself. Like I was 18 or 19, but I was only 7 or 8. My brother, he used to get shot up. He used to be in horrible fights, go to jail and stuff. And I wanted to be like him because he got a lot of attention. I started taking the wrong route. I started slipping off the edge. And I knew by going to the streets, I felt that I would get much more attention and much more support. When I was on the streets, I used to run with a gang of girls. And it seemed like they cared about what I did and they respected me for it, even though it wasn't in a positive way. We used to jump kids, like take their school money and their lunches and everything. We used to steal from the stores. We used to write on walls. We used to fight a lot, like constantly fighting. And we used to just be horrible little kids. One night I went to sleep and I had a dream. And I saw all my friends and family around this box, a pretty box with flowers and stuff. And they opened it and it was a little black girl in there with a white dress on. And I was looking like, I know this person. And so I finally, you know, came closer up on the person who was in this box. And I realized that it was me, that I was dead in a coffin with flowers and stuff around me. With that dream and seeing what my brother was doing and seeing what I was doing caused me to change, to step out of myself and say, look, this is you in a few more years. If you don't change. It was difficult for me to make the choice to change because I didn't know the difference between bad and good. I just knew all bad stuff and I thought it was good stuff. And when I became a high school student, I found Colors United. Colors United is an organization for young kids who basically need support and self-esteem.
They, you know, took me off the streets. And there's people there that, you know, really care about you. They made me feel wanted and special, like, you know, I was somebody.
They brung stuff out of me, my inner talents that I never thought I had. They made me go inside of myself and realize what I have in there should be out in the open where everybody can see it. With Colors United, I act, sing, dance, and perform around the country. When I started hanging with Colors United, the girls that I hung with on the streets, they didn't like it at all. They told me that if I didn't stay with them, I'd get beat up, I'd get jumped and everything. And I just still said, I'm out of here. I'm just leaving y'all. Sometimes I want to go back out there and be a part of it again. But then I got my angel on my right side just letting me know that I should just keep going. Before, when I was doing bad things, I didn't care about nothing. Nobody but myself and the girls that I run with. And now all I do is want to care about people.
To get a bicycle?
I'm helping other kids by taking the time to be there for them, by listening to them, taking them to the store, walking with them around the corner, anything to just put a smile on their face.
Threesome.
Just let them know that if I keep my head up, they can keep their head up also.
Yes, I'm free, cause freedom believes in me.
LaToya Howlett had to choose between right and wrong, and it took a lot of courage to do what was right. She had to make the decision herself. Then she looked around for people who could help her. If you look around in your community, you'll find people who can help you too. Now, here are three books about communities and the people who live in them. You might want to check them out at your neighborhood library, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hello, did you know you're part of a family that's bigger than your mother, father, brothers, and sisters? There are lots of people you care about and depend on. Here's a story about them. It's called I Got Community. A community is almost like a family. It's filled with people you care about and count on. There are neighbors to spend time with, best friends to tell secrets to, teachers to prepare you for life, and lots more. Each one has a part in your community. I'm Marjorie, and I'm an important part of my community. Neighbors and friends depend on me. You're an important part of your community, too, so I know you'll really enjoy this book.
If you like to feel good and read poetry, I've got the perfect book for you. It's called Night on Neighborhood Street. Each page has a poem about Neighborhood Street and the people who live there. The poems describe what goes on at night. Goodnight Juma is one of my favorites. The little boy doesn't want to go to bed because he wants a hug. Each poem has a picture, and the picture is beautifully illustrated. This poem made me giggle. It's called Family Time. It's called that because the little girl cannot say family. There's a poem about being at church, and there's even a poem about a little boy named Darnell. I'm Leticia, and I really enjoyed this book. I think I'm going to go share it with my neighbors. You should check it out, too.
Hello, I'm Kenrick. Let me take you to a special place where exciting things happen. It's here in this book, The Car Washing Street. It's a hot, hot day on this city block. Matthew wakes up to the sound of clink, clink, and splish, splash. It's car washing day. The whole neighborhood gets together. Mr. Henry Hamilton already has his car soaped up. Miss Kennedy scrubs her pink Cadillac. Matthew's family doesn't have a car, but they like to hang around on this day, because you never know what's going to happen. Uh-oh! It's a water fight! Everyone has a good time. At the end of the day, all the neighbors gather on Matthew's stoop, and they laugh and talk. Matthew likes living on the car washing street. His neighbors are his friends. Why don't you check out the car washing street?
No matter what community you live in, you have choices to make. And all around you, there are going to be people who will help you make the right choices. You've got parents, teachers, family members, your neighbors. But ultimately, it's up to you. How you live your life is your decision.
Hey, LeVar!
You might say, the ball's in your court. I'll see you next time. All right, we got another game?
Today's Reading Rainbow books are The Wonderful Towers of Watts by Patricia Zelver. Pictures by Frané Lissac. Published by Tambourine Books, a division of William Morrow & Company. I Got Community by Melrose Cooper. Pictures by Dale Gottlieb. Published by Henry Holt & Company. Night on Neighborhood Street by Eloise Greenfield. Illustrated by Jan Spivey Gilchrist. Published by Dial Books for Young Readers, a division of Penguin Books USA. The Car Washing Street by Denise Lewis Patrick. Pictures by John Ward, published by Tambourine Books, a division of William Morrow & Company.